Masechet Nazir, Daf Samech Aleph. We begin the ninth and last perek with the Mishnah that you'd expect to have come up earlier, with a basic question of who is eligible to be a Nazir. Mishnah teaches, Hagoyim en lahem nizirut, nashim v'abadim yesh lahem nizirut, chomer ben nashim mi ba'abadim, shehu kofe et abdo, v'no kofe et ishto. So it says that non-Jews have no law of nizirut. Non-Jew says, I'm going to be a nazir. They have no obligations, no responsibilities. The category of nizirut does not apply to non-Jews. If you look at the Vilna printed edition, you'll find here the word kutim en lahem nizirut. Kutim meaning Samaritans. So that kind of complicates things because the Talmud all talks about non-Jews, not kutim, that are, they're also not Jewish, but they keep Torah law. And for some purposes, some opinions think that they are actually converts, or for other different halachot, they do keep various Torah laws, and so kutim are in this kind of in between status. So if it were talking about kutim, it would be a whole complicated issue, and the Gemara does not talk about kutim at all. And the reason is because kutim is the wrong word. It is the original is hagoyim, and then in this edition they restore it to the correct original version. We know this because the manuscripts say goyim, and even the first printed edition says goyim, and at some point later on it was changed, most likely by Christian censors who thought that goyim are all talking about Christians, and they didn't like that they thought the Talmud was speaking badly about them. In this case, it's not saying anything about Christians, although in some cases it does. So they, in order to avoid that situation, censors would kind of indiscriminately change any time it said goyim to something else like kutim, and that way they weren't offended. Anyway, the word kutim in the Vilna printed edition is incorrect. And so we go back to the original. All right, so non-Jew cannot be a Nazir. That will be the subject of the Gemara today, a source for that. Whereas women and servants can be Nazirim. Now, women and servants, there is a difference between them. There is a stringency regarding women over servants in that the owner can override his slave. A slave takes upon himself to be a Nazir. The owner at any point can force him to drink wine or shave his hair or become Tamei Lamet. I don't want you to be a Nazir. You're my servant. I need you to do these various things. And so a master can override, whereas a husband cannot override his wife. Yes, on the day that he hears about it, he can nullify her vow like any vows, and Nizirut is a type of vow. But if he doesn't nullify it on that day, then that's it. He does not have the right to force his wife to violate her Nizirut. Okay, so even though these are two different types of authority, a master over a slave and a husband over his wife, but they are fundamentally different in this sense that a wife does have her own agency, and once she is a Nazir and the husband does not override it, so that she's her own person, whereas the servant is permanently under the total authority of his master and really cannot make his own set his own destiny at all. All right, that is the Mishnah. Ketane hagoyim en lahem nizirut. Minahane mile. Here is the question of this entire daf. What is the source for the fact that non-Jew cannot be a nazir? The Tanur Rabbanan, daber el bnei Israel velo lagoyim v'amarta lehem lerabot et ha'avadim lama likera ha'malkom misva sheisha chayevet ba eved chayava. Okay, so we quote this baraita, and that says daber el bnei Israel. Let's look at the pisukim first. So this is right, the right opening of the Nazir Pasuk says, Daber el b'nei Israel. So that is referring to b'nei Israel. And tell them, and now notice it says ish or isha. So we're going to learn also from this word ish and the dialectic between b'nei Israel and ish. B'nei Israel being a limiting word. Sounds like only Jews, but not non-Jews. But we're going to see in a minute that the word ish is an inclusive word. Okay, so this is going to be our source here. And so therefore, since it says to B'nai Israel, that means Jews only, and that excludes non-Jews. Now, v'amata lehem, and tell them, so this is an extra inclusive phrase, and that comes to include slaves. Okay, good. So that's the Braita. Now, before we go back to non-Jews, we're just going to analyze this part. Lama likera, why do I need a pasuk to include servants? After all, we have a general principle that any mitzvah that a woman is obligated to do, a slave also is obligated to do. In other words, mitzvot aseh shazman gerama, women are exempt, and so are slaves exempt. It's a similar reason. These are time-bound obligations, positive obligations, so they have to do it at a certain time each day or in a certain holiday. And their time is not their own. They have other responsibilities, other obligations. And so therefore, they cannot be commanded in most of these. But in lo taseh or mitzvot taseh that are not time-bound, and eved, it's talking about eved kana'ani. And eved kana'ani is a non-Jew, but once he was a non-Jew, but once he becomes a slave in a Jewish household, he has to keep these Torah laws the same way as a woman does. So the point is that woman, we know, can be a woman can be a nazir. Says so in the pasuk, ish or isha. So we would assume that eved would be the same as a woman. Therefore, I don't really need v'amarta lehem to come to include slaves. So that's our question. This is all a side point, right? Because our main thing we want to get to is goyim. But since we quoted the Braita, now we're going to talk about servants for a minute. Amar Rav Asha nehachad amar kera leesod isad al nafsho b'misha nafsho kenuya lo yasa ayved she'en nafsho kenuya lo hoil ve'en nafsho kenuya lo ema gabe nazir nameh la kamashma lan. So Rav Asha explains, though, that the slave here is different because of the pasuk in Bimidbad Lamed that's talking about vows in general. And it says someone who makes a vow to bind his soul upon himself, so that he should make sure not to nullify his vow, not to make his vow non-sacred. You have to keep, if someone makes a vow, you have to make sure to keep it. But from this word nafsho, we learn that vows only apply to someone whose soul, doesn't mean soul literally here, means his self is under his own possession. He's in charge of himself. That way he makes a vow and he can, it's in his jurisdiction to fulfill it because he's in possession of his own agency. But a slave does not have possession of his own agency. His master tells him what to do, right? His master tells him when to wake up, when to eat, when to work. So since he does not have his own agency, I would have thought that he also cannot be a nazir, right? Just like he cannot make general vows, he cannot be a nazir either. That's why I need the word v'amarta alehem to teach me that, yes, a slave can be a nazir. Although, as we said in the Mishnah, the master can force his slave out of nazirut at any time, but if the master doesn't, then the slave is in fact a nazir and will have all the obligations and responsibilities of a nazir. So that's why I need the pasuk, v'amarta lehem, because otherwise I would have thought that he cannot take a vow upon himself. All right, good. Now that we finished with the tangent about the slaves, let's go back to the non-Jews. Amar mor, daber al b'nei Israel ve'lo lagoyim. Okay, you said in this baraita that the pasuk says, go tell Bnei Israel all the laws of Nizirut, and that excludes non-Jews. Makes sense. But we ask, v'chol hecha dichtiv Yisrael goyim la. Now, is this true that in any law that it says Yisrael, that will completely exclude non-Jews? Here is an example that where that's not true. V'hagabe adachin dichtiv daber al Bnei Israel v'tanya Bnei Israel ma'arichin ve'en hagoyim ma'arichin. We could look at that pasuk for a second. Here in Vayikra 27, go tell Bnei Israel and tell them ish. So you see that the phrase, opening phrase here, doesn't say o isha, just says ish. But otherwise, the phrase is exactly the same as the one in the Nazir. So it does make sense to put these two back to back. All right, so regarding, this is the context is, ki yafli neder be'erkecha nefashot, if someone takes a vow to donate the equivalent of a human being, a person can say, I donate my value to the Beit HaMikdash, or I donate that person's value to the Beit HaMikdash, and then this tells you exactly how to evaluate each person depending on their age and status. Okay, so what do we do with this pasuk? So regarding arachin, since it says Bnei Israel, we learn from a braita teaches that a Jew can make a valuation vow, but a non-Jew cannot. If a non-Jew goes and says, I take upon myself my value or that person's value, it's not a vow. Okay, so good. So the Bnei Israel here does work consistently with what came before, but here's the problem. Now, I might think that maybe non-Jews are completely excluded from the law of evaluation, totally, even to such extent that they cannot even be the objects, that if a Jew says, I want to donate the value of that non-Jew to the Beit HaMikdash. So I might think, oh no, it says Bnei Israel only, and they're excluded. Oh, that's why the word Ish and the rest of the Pasuk comes as an inclusive word, that non-Jews are somewhat included. So they're half excluded and half included, which means that a non-Jew cannot make an evaluation vow, but he can be the object of evaluation vow, right? A Jew can say, I want to donate the value of that non-Jew. So you see that the word ish comes to include a non-Jew for some purposes, for half of the law. And therefore, we should say the same thing regarding Nazir. We'll get back to Nazir here. Although it said, Daber el Bnei Israel, I understand the law of Nazirut in some aspect of it applies only to Bnei Israel, but it also says ish. And ish is an inclusive word. For arachin, it included non-Jews in part of the law. So why don't we use ish also here to include a nazir, at least in part of the law? That's the question. And the answer is, shaneh hacha damad kera le'aviv ulimo lo yitama. Okay, I'm going to, before I explain this, let's look at a chart of the outline of this sugya. The overall question is, why can't a Gentile be a Nazir? We're going to see overall three answers, but we're going to see the whole sugya is in a chiastic structure. At first, we tried to prove it from the fact that it says Bnei Israel. So Bnei Israel says Jews, yes, but non-Jews, no. We just rejected that because Arachin also has Bnei Israel, but it has the inclusive word Ish, and Nazir also has Ish, so we should be inclusive. So that's why we rejected A. Now we're going to see a second answer, that a non-Jew lacks a legal father, but we're going to reject that because they do inherit. But then we're going to get to answer C, which will be a correct and accepted answer, that non-Jews cannot become Tameh. Okay, after we do that, get that successful answer, we're going to go back to answer B and reject it. And then we're going to go back to answer A and reject it. So it's a very interesting structure to the sugya, right? A, B, C, B, A, even though C, which is in the middle, is the only one that is a successful answer. Okay, so we just saw answer A. It says Bnei Israel, but that's a problem because it also says Ish, so non-Jews should be included in some way. All right, we'll try to resurrect it soon. Now we get to the second answer, and here we go. So Nazir is different from Arachin, and from in that it says, so it's not because it says Bnei Israel, but rather because it says for his father and mother, he a Nazir cannot become Tameh. Now this, therefore, the law of Nazirut can only apply to someone who has a father and mother, right? But that excludes, Yatzai Goy She'en Lo'av, excludes a non-Jew who has no father. Now, what does this mean? Non-Jews have fathers also. They have biological fathers, right? Everyone has a biological father. So what are we talking about? Lemai, ilema linyan yirusha. Oh, so maybe it means legally. Of course he has a biological father, but maybe you can say he doesn't have a legal father for the law of inheritance, that non-Jews do not inherit from Torah law, right? If non-Jews were living in a halachic country, an area governed by halacha, so then they wouldn't have the law of inheritance. If the son came and said, oh, my father died, or any of the other Torah laws of inheritance, if there's no sons, does it go to the woman, right? What are the inheritance laws? And Torah says, no, there are no inheritance laws. So if you say that, and that's why a non-Jew would be excluded, because he doesn't have a legal father for the sake of inheritance, But that's not true. V'ha'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abin amar Rabbi Yochanan. Goy yoresh et aviv debar Torah shenemar ki yerusha le'esav. Natati et har se'ir. Rabbi Yochanan taught that non-Jews do have a law of inheritance from the Torah. And we see that regarding Esav. Hashem says, don't start up with the land of Edom, because I gave it as an inheritance to Esav, who gave it to their descendants as an inheritance. So there you go. So the Torah specifically talks about inheritance of Esav, all his descendants who are not Jewish. All right. So we can't be because of that. So, so in what sense do non-Jews not have a father? Ella b'mishim uzhar al kibud aviv. Oh, the law of nezirut can only apply to someone who is obligated to honor his father, and non-Jews are not commanded to honor their father. Now, this is interesting because we do learn the laws of honoring one's father. The ideal, how much the exemplars happen to be non-Jews. Esav. Right, in the Midrashic reading, and Dama ben Netina was known for outstanding kibud av, and so these were not non-Jews. But nevertheless, the point is that they could be. It's good that they do it, but they're not mitsuvim ve'osim. They are not commanded, and yet they do it, so we can still learn from them as exemplars. But since they're not commanded to do so, so in that sense, they don't have legal fathers for the sake of honor, so therefore then they cannot be included in a Torah law that talks about becoming tameh for one's father. That's the proposition, but we reject this. Mi ketiv kabed abichav gabei nazir. For a nazir, it doesn't say that he has to honor his father. It just says that he can't become tameh lamet if his father dies. So that's not dependent on kibud av. And therefore, we reject that answer as well. So to go back to our chart, we saw that, okay, maybe we can derive that a Gentile cannot be a Nazir because he lacks a legal father in the sense that he doesn't have a law of kibud av. But actually, they do inherit, and that would be the main thing that you would need. So they have a legal father. It's a sufficient of a legal father that you could say, oh, his father. You could talk about one's father if he has any law. And inheritance law is an important one, and it shouldn't be dependent on the fact that he has to do kibud av. So therefore, that answer is rejected, and we get to the third and correct, successful answer. Ela amar kera le'aviv ulimo lo yitama b'mi sheyesh lo tuma. It's not about the father part of it, but rather about the yitama, since it says to a nazir, listen, nazir, you cannot become tameh lamet. Well, this law would only apply to someone who can become tameh lamet. V'yasagoy she'en lo tum'ah, but non-Jews don't have a law of impurity. If a non-Jew goes and touches a dead body, they don't become tameh lamet. They're not within the category of becoming tameh. So it wouldn't make sense to tell to say that a non-Jew can be a nazir if one of the three basic obligations is not something that he could even possibly violate. Okay, so that's a good answer, but we want to know the derivation of that itself. Min alan delet lehu tumah. How do you know that non-Jews don't become tameh? Damar kera v'ish asher yitma v'lo yithata v'nichreta ha-nefesh ahi mitoch ha-kahal b'mi sheyesh lo kahal yasa ze she'en lo kahal en b'midbar yutet. All the laws of tumat met, parashat chukat. It says a person who is tameh and does not purify himself, yitchata, will get karet if they go into the Bet HaMikdash. And karet means will be cut off from the assembly. So cut off from the assembly means the Jewish assembly of Jewish people. So someone who is within the assembly of Jewish people. And that would exclude someone who is not a member of the assembly, not part of the Jewish people, would not be able to get karet. And therefore, this whole law of being tameh and the problem of being tameh of going into the Beit HaMikdash, this whole thing does not apply to non-Jews. Therefore, the whole law of tumah does not apply to non-Jews, and therefore he can't be a nazir because a nazir says, the law says, don't be tameh. It means that he has to have the potential of becoming tameh. Okay, it sounds good. We challenge it again. Wait a second. From this pasuk, I know it says kahal, I accept that. But maybe that just means that a non-Jew if he was tameh, went to the mikdash, would not get karet, because karet kind of by definition means cut off from the Jewish people. If he's already not part of the Jewish people, he won't get this punishment. But who says that he's not tameh, that the whole category of tameh tumah doesn't belong to him? Maybe he does become tameh. Amar kerav izah tahor halatameh. No, that also is not, we can't say, because in the ritual of parah adumah, you have the tahor kohen will sprinkle it on the tameh. So we see that tahoran tumah are two sides of the same coin. Kol sheyesh lo tahara yesh lo tumah, v'chol she'en lo tahara en lo tumah. Someone who can be tahor can be tameh. Someone who cannot become tahor cannot become tameh. Meaning that if you say that a non-Jew can become tameh, well, you can't say that because he doesn't have a process of becoming tahor. Now, how do you know that he doesn't have a process of becoming tahor? The Gemara is just assuming that. It doesn't give a reason why, but Tosafot here says, of course, this pasuk, which I'll show you inside, so we can appreciate it. The pasuk in that same chapter in Parashat Chukat says, "Vayital adat bnei Yisrael mishmeret lemenida hatati." The menida, that's the water of impurity, the water of impure for impurity. We're talking about the para aduma waters that are sprinkled for purgation for chadat. That will be to adat bnei Yisrael, which means that the purification ceremony for tumat met only applies to Bnei Israel. So since the cure only applies to Bnei Israel, therefore the problem also is going to be only for Bnei Israel, right? Which makes sense. So how could you say, tell non-Jews, oh, you can become tameh lamet, oh, but you have no possibility of becoming tahor. So if we see from here that they cannot become tahor, therefore we can assume that they also cannot become tameh, not only for the punishment of karet, but that they're not in the category of tumat met at all. All right, so that sounds like a good answer. Another challenge. Ve'ema tahorahu de la havyale, tuma havyale, amar kera ve'isha sheritma ve'lo yitrata. Well, wait a second, maybe I can still say that this true, they cannot become pure, there's no purification ritual, but maybe they can become tameh, and they'll remain tameh all the time. But that also can't be, because the pasuk later in that same chapter says, ve'amar kera isha sheritma ve'lo yitchata. If a person should become tameh and not become pure, it means he has to have the possibility of becoming pure, and if non-Jews have no possibility of becoming pure, they also have no possibility of becoming tameh, and so this is a good answer for why a non-Jew cannot become a Nazir, because he's not within the realm of becoming Tameh Lamet. So therefore, the entire law does not apply to them. All right, good. And now that we've accepted that, let's return to B. If remember, B said that he lacks a legal father, but then we wondered because, wait a second, but a non-Jew does have a legal father because he can inherit. So now we're going to go back to that. Rav Acha bar Yaakov amar shane hacha tamar kera vitnachaltem otam libnechem acharechem. Rav Acha says that non-Jews are different from Jews, even in their law of inheritance, because the pasuk says regarding Jews that they can inherit to their children after them, slaves, Canaanite slaves. If a father owns Eved Canaani and he dies, the child inherits it. That is true for Jews who can inherit all their property, including these Canaanite slaves. However, non-Jews, while it's true, a son inherits from the father property that the father has, but does not apply to slaves that a father has. If a non-Jew owns a slave and dies, then that slave is not inherited to the son according to Torah law. So you see that there is not full inheritance for non-Jews, and therefore it's not full legal fatherhood. And that's why they are excluded, right? Kol sheyesh lo nachala yesh lo tumah, v'chol she'en lo nachala en lo tumah. So this is all part of Rav Acha's statement that anyone that has the law of inheritance, the full law of inheritance, that person will have the law of Nazir applied to them, and someone who does not have the full law of inheritance will not have the law of Nazirut applied to them. So therefore, we can go back to B, and that's a good answer, right? We say no. Ihachi abadim namila, slaves, a Canaanite slave themselves, a Canaanite slave. If a Canaanite slave owns another slave, right, and dies, that slave's sons do not inherit the slave's slaves. So the point is that servants, avadim, also do not have a full law of inheritance. Yet avadim can be nazirim, and so that can't be the critical factor. As long as you have some law of inheritance, that's sufficient. Some law of fatherhood is sufficient to be a nazir. It doesn't. We know from avadim that it does not depend on the ability to bequeath slaves to one's children. All right, and therefore we ultimately reject B, and now we're going to return to A, which said, listen, it says B'nai Israel, and that's an exclusive word, so that excludes non-Jews, so that was a good answer. The problem that in Arachin, that it had the word Ish, and that's inclusive, and Nazir also has the word Ish, so that's inclusive. So what are you going to do with that? And so that's why we rejected B'nai Israel, because if it was just from that, just B'nai Israel, then we should bring Ish and be inclusive of a non-Jew for the law of Nazir. And now we're going to say, precisely so, maybe we can include Nazir for some aspect of Nazirut, include a non-Jew for some aspect. Ela amar Rava, bishlam agabe adachin, shenemar B'nai Israel, B'nai Samarichin, V'nagim Arichin, yachol lo yuhnu anerachin, tamud lomar Ish. So Rava says, I understand your objection and that you brought from Arachin. Because there says B'nai Israel, and that excludes non-Jews. Only Jews can make a valuation vow, but a non-Jew cannot make a valuation vow. Does that mean they cannot be evaluated as the object of a vow? That's why it says Ish, to include non-Jews, that they can be the object. And so a Jew can say, I want to donate the value of that non-Jew. Good, I got that. Hacha b'nei Israel nozin v'vi'in korban, v'en hagoyim nozin v'vi'in korban. Yachol af lo yehu nazirin kelal, tamud lomar ish. So Rava says, I can apply a similar logic to nazir. I'll say as follows. B'nei Israel can be a nazir, and when they're finished being a nazir, they're going to bring sacrifices. Whereas non-Jews are excluded from the sacrifice part. They can be a nazir, but they can't sacrifice. Non-Jews can't bring the sacrifices of a nazir. Now, maybe you'll say that non-Jews should be excluded completely, and they can't be a nazir at all. That's why I said the pasuk says the word ish to include non-Jews in some aspect of it. So you see, we could apply this type of derasha to non-Jews also, and maybe that's what it means when it says a non-Jew can't be a nazir. It just means he can't fully do all the laws of nazirut. He can't do the sacrifices, but otherwise he is a nazir for all the other responsibilities. So that could be a derivation, and we say amre imishum korban lav mehachanafkale el mehatam leola perat nazirut debre biyosei galili. So we reject that. And say that no, if it's because he's nazir, a non-Jew is excluded from the korban, we wouldn't learn that from this word B'nai Israel regarding nazir. We could already have a derivation for that. If the derivation is from Vayikra, where it says le'ola, right? Any person from the house of Israel, from strangers who sacrifices in ola, they can bring in ola. So that means if we learn from there that a non-Jew can bring in ola if they want, and this was commonly done, non-Jews would come to the Beit HaMikdash and bring in ola. But we learn from there, yes, a non-Jew can bring in ola, but they can't bring any kind of anything they want. They can't bring a nazirut sacrifice. So we already know from the word ola that a non-Jew cannot bring sacrifices as a nazir. And therefore, I don't need two pesukim to teach one thing. And so we reject this possibility that B'nai Israel the word B'nai Israel comes to exclude nazirim only from the sacrifices. We know that already. So we'll try again. Emma b'nei Israel nozrim nizirut olam ve'enagoyim nozrim nizirut olam. Yachol lo yehu nizirim tamud lomar ish. So let's say as follows. the word B'nai Israel says that Jews have the possibility of making themselves a permanent Nazir, a lifetime Nazir. But that comes to exclude non-Jews who cannot be a permanent, cannot take upon themselves permanency of a Nazir, but they can be a temporary Nazir, right? So now, if you might think, well, B'nai Israel, since it's exclusive, is teaching that a non-Jew cannot be a Nazir at all, well, then this, the next word comes Ish, which is an inclusive word, and that says, you know, they can be a Nazir. And so this could be a good way of deriving it from B'nai Israel, and this will be a compromise similar to Arachin. Non-Jews are excluded from Nazirut Olam, but they're included in a regular temporary Nazirut. And Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mi ketiv Nazir Olam, but Rabbi Yochanan rejects this. But this pasuk say Nazir Olam, right? This pasuk is the introduction to all the laws of Nazirut, a standard Nazirut. So there's no, it's too far away from the simple reading, contextual reading, to say that the Pasuk B'nai Israel is only talking about Nazirut Olam. So we reject that also. We'll try again. Emma B'nai Israel Madirim B'nehem B'Nazir V'en HaGoyim Madirim B'nehem B'Nazir Yachol Yol Lo Yehu Nazirim Tamud Omar Ish. Maybe we'll learn as follows. B'nai Israel, a Jew, can cause his son, who's a minor but of a certain age, to be a Nazir, right? We saw that law. Father can say, my son's going to be a Nazir. And as long as nobody objects, he'll be actually a Nazir. So a Jew can do that, but the word B'nai Israel is coming to teach me that a non-Jew does not have the authority to make his minor son a Nazir. Now maybe you'll say B'nai Israel is excluding non-Jews altogether. That's why it says Ish, to include them. And so in fact, the result of this derasha would be that non-Jews, basically, yes, they can be Nazirim, right? All types of Nazirim. The only exception would be that a minor cannot be made a Nazir by his father. So how about that? No, we reject that too. Hamar Rabbi Yochanan halacha hi b'nazir. Rabbi Yochanan says that this law, in the first place, that a father can make his minor son a nazir, is an oral tradition. Right? It's not even derived from the pesukim themselves. So it's not likely that there's going to be a pasuk that tells you to, that says you should exclude a non-Jew from a law that for Jews was not even mentioned in the Torah itself, right? It was only in the oral law, right? So the oral law is one register, the written scripture is a different register, and one is not going to refer to the other. It's not going to have an extra word in the Torah to come and tell you that something in the oral tradition doesn't apply. And so we reject that as well. And last option, Ema b'nei Yisrael megalechin al nezirut avihen, v'en hagim megalechin al nezirut avihen. Maybe the word b'nei Yisrael teaches that a Jew can shave using the animals that his father set aside. If his father was a Nazir and set aside animals and died, the son, who is also a Nazir, can then use the, because since he inherits those animals, but they're already sanctified, so he can't just use them for anything else, but he can use them for his own Nazirut. And so this can teach that, yes, he can use them, but non-Jews cannot be in this law. They cannot use the sacrifices of their father. So that's what B'nai Israel is coming to teach. Yachol lo yehu nazirin, tamud lomar ish. And maybe you'll think, well, that the word B'nai Israel is excluding them totally. That's why it says the word ish, to include. Yes, a Nazir can be a non-Jew can be a Nazir. He just cannot inherit korban animals from his father. So is that a good derivation? We reject that too. Ha'itmad, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halachai ben Nazir. This also is a special oral law regarding Nazir, that a son, a Jewish son, can inherit the animal sacrifices of his father who was a Nazir, and he can use them for his own Nazirut. But the Torah is not going to have a phrase to teach me something about something in the oral tradition, right? It'll only have a phrase to teach me something in the Torah itself, and so that also is rejected. Okay, these possibilities, in any case, would not really fit so well with the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said that a non-Jew cannot be a Nazir, which sounds like cannot be a Nazir at all, not just that he's excluded from some aspect of the law. But in any case, these are rejected. And so just to review the structure, we asked, why can't a Gentile be a Nazir? And we suggested three answers. The third one is the one that's accepted, because he cannot become Tameh. He can't become Tahor either. So since the law, whole law of Tuman Tahara Tumat Mit. It does not apply to a non-Jew, so therefore the entire law of Nizirut cannot apply to them either. And then we went back to B and went back to A to try to resurrect them, but in the end they were rejected. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen v'amen.